Let's turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11. I have two passages that I want to read today, but we're going to be talking about a very big, big subject. And so these passages are just the beginning. And hopefully for you, they will be just the beginning, that they will start something in you. That's my hope for this morning. So, Isaiah chapter 11, and you might recognize some of these words having to do with our Savior, quoted in the New Testament. Starting in verse 1, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist." And then let's turn to the next passage, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 18. I'm not going to go through every detail of these passages. I'm offering them to you. Because, as I said, I'm hoping to spur you on into what we're talking about this morning. Verse 18, which comes with a lot before that and a lot after. "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched, that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, 'Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.' The words 'once more' indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you that you are here. You have brought us here this morning. And Jesus, you paved the way for us to have access to God. And Holy Spirit, you are among us right now, bringing your word, bringing your counsel, bringing your insight, and bringing the heart of God to our hearts and to our minds. And Lord, I pray that you would be the center of this time. In your name, amen. Some of you understand fear, correct? Does anybody not understand fear here? Okay. So we have a common ground that we're talking about. How many of you would absolutely not want to be where I am standing right now? Okay. You know the two things that are most common to fear. And it's not spiders or snakes. Death, right? Public speaking, the second one. And that was actually where I was for much of my life. Terrified of getting up in front of people. So the fact that I'm here should show you that God's done something. I was in Los Angeles for a while, and a friend of mine was working up in one of the skyscrapers there downtown Los Angeles. And one of the many earthquakes of Los Angeles began to happen. And he was in a corner office with a desk there, and out of the corner of his eye, he could normally see this tall building that was much taller than their building in the window right there. When the earthquake happened, he looked over and he said, "It's gone down. That building is demolished. It's fallen." And he started to get up from his desk, and then all of a sudden he saw this building come into full view. And then it went back out of the window again. It was moving the way they're supposed to move. I got to travel through downtown Seattle for a while they were building some of these tall skyscrapers, and I just thought, okay, you just go ahead and build, right? No, you have to dig down. And it's a long ways down. And then, those of you that are engineers, you know you have to have something stable down there because of the earthquakes, so that a building that tall can move with the earthquake. Otherwise, it's destruction. The fear of God, if I say the fear of God, I would guess that many of us have never heard a sermon on the fear of God. We avoid it. We avoid talking about it sometimes. We have many fears, snakes, spiders, speaking in front of people, but it's difficult to really get a grasp on what does the fear of God really mean. And I'm hoping that in these next couple weeks, you begin to have a desire to say, I need to study this. I need to understand God's heart for this. That I would step into the fear of God, because it's the beginning of, yes, wisdom. Proverbs 9:10, some of you know that by heart. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But it really begins with, who is God? So we have to ask the question, who is God? And you all have studied various things about who God is, but often we like to make God in our own image. We like to create him to be nice, right? Gentle. Of course, loving. That's what the Bible says, loving. But often we begin to think about God as a bit passive. If I do something wrong, he'll overlook it. And we know Jesus' place, that he has come to save. And we begin to grasp his grace, but often we just feel like God is maybe distant and really is not the powerful, amazing, incredible God that he is. You may remember what happened with the Israelites at the mountain. When God said, "Come close, I want to talk to you." And he didn't whisper. Thunder, lightning, earthquake. God stepping in the midst of a storm, dark clouds, and saying, "Don't even touch the mountain." And they said, "Hey, Moses, can you go talk to him? We're not getting anywhere close. You go talk to them." And Moses understood, because he had already encountered God at the burning bush. Remember that? And at the burning bush, Moses said, "I can't even look at you. I got to hide my face from you because of the amazing power, awesome glory of the God of the universe that he was encountering, and he didn't even really know." But you might remember another time up on the mountain when Moses was saying, "Show me your face. Show me your face." And God said, "You can't see my face. You would die. But I'll show you the back of me." Now, what happened to Moses in between those times? Between the time of saying, "I don't want to see you. I can't look at you. No. To the point where he would say, "Show me your face. I want to get to know you intimately. I want to be close to you." So who is this God? Exodus 34. Moses says, "Tell me your name." And Exodus 34:6 says, "And he passed in front of Moses." So this is the time where he's showing the back of him. Puts Moses in the cleft of the rock, like we sang about. Put his hand over, but proclaimed, "The Lord. The Lord, the compassionate." Okay, so that's what we like, right? Compassionate. Good. All right. Good stuff. We're on the right track. Gracious. Yes. He's a gracious God. He's slow to anger. Okay, that's what I need every day of my life, a God that's slow to anger. Abounding in love and faithfulness. Maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. So there's our God. The God that we like to hold on to. The God we like to be close to. But he keeps going. He says, "Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation." Ouch! Now, Ezekiel tells us that if a child turns, they don't get punished. But you see the patterns that go through in life. That the children follow the sins of the parents and often turn away from God. The question is, when we're asking who is God, what do you believe? If you're going to step into the fear of God, you have to decide, what do I believe about God? Yes, he's powerful. Omnipotent. All-powerful, by the way. But he is also takes sin and puts his wrath upon it. And that's where his son ended up, on the cross, receiving what was due for us. God is, well, let's just go back to him talking about himself again. Exodus 20, he says, "You shall not bow down to them or worship them." Now, this is from the Ten Commandments. "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Do you think of God as jealous? I thought that was a bad thing. The thing about jealousy is, we, every single one of us, are gods. We are gods. His jealousy is right. We are supposed to be his. But we've gone our own way. We've run away from him to do our own thing. And we've heard what Satan said in the garden. Did God really say? Did he really say that? I think he's trying to hold back from you. I really don't think that God is a good God. In fact, he's treating you pretty poorly. I think you're going to have to go out and do it yourself. And that's what Adam and Eve did in taking of the fruit. We're going to do it ourselves. Because God's holding out on us. And how many of us in life have responded to God, a good God, a jealous God? He's jealous for his people to come to him. He doesn't want them going anywhere else. He doesn't want me going anywhere else. He wants us to be close to him. In fact, he wants us to fear going anywhere but to him. To understand the amazing and awesome nature of God and to run to him. To cling to him. And when you think about it, that's what God gave us in Jesus. The opportunity to cling to him. Those of us, which includes all of us, who have sinned. There's not one here that has not sinned. And Jesus made the way. And God is saying, please come to me. Is he powerful? Yes, he's powerful. Dangerous. Yes, he's dangerous. But he's good. I think C.S. Lewis had it right. When he used the picture of a lion to represent Jesus, and one of the characters said, is he safe? And the beaver said, oh, no, 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 no. He's not safe, but he's good. God is not molded in our image. We are created in his. And so often we want to create the God that we like rather than the God that is revealed in Scripture, in nature, and in the love of His people shown in all of those places. But as you saw in Hebrews 12, that chapter ended with, "For our God is a consuming fire." That's part of God's jealousy. I want to consume all of those things in you that are not bringing glory to me and are not doing you any good at all. Now the question is, will we run toward God, or will we run away from God? Now you notice these questions in your bulletin insert. They're investigative questions, right? If you're going to investigate, you need to answer these questions. So that's where we're going. And I'm offering that to you. Search for it. If you want to search out who is God, I don't think you're going to find the end of it. In fact, I think the deeper you go into it, the bigger God becomes. And you begin to see so many different aspects of God. Spending time with His people and studying about who God is, it's going to explode in magnitude. You'll think, okay, I think I've almost got it. But you realize, oh my goodness, it's way bigger than I thought it was. And the same thing with the fear of God. So the next question is, what is the fear of God? Well, if we can't completely answer the question, who is God, we're not going to be able to completely answer what is the fear of God. But I'm going to start you down that journey. Because I want you to have wisdom. There's another place in Proverbs that talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of, it says, knowledge. Do you want to understand? Do you want to understand what life is all about and how to do this stuff that we struggle through in life? God says, understand the fear of the Lord. Because the more you understand about the fear of the Lord, the more you're going to say, I either need to run away or I need to run toward. I can't stay here. The more you begin to understand the fear of the Lord, I'm hoping it's going to lead you down a path, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. What is the fear of God? Please, if you want to study the fear of God, do not go to Google. Has anybody studied the fear of God based on Google? Okay, you can go check it out if you don't believe me. But about the first 10 to 15 sites that come up on Google search for the fear of God, it's a clothing line. Are you kidding me? The fear of God. Okay, let's study the fear of God. I need to get that shirt and those shoes. And so if you want to go on Google, you'll have to go quite a ways down before you begin to find sites that have anything to do with God's Word. Some people will say, oh, the fear of God is respect. Okay, partially, but it's not good enough. And we might say, awe. No, that's not awe. That's how some people think about God. Awe. It's awe. But it's even more than that. Because we can see something from a distance, maybe a sunset or a mountain or bird or whatever it might be, and we say, oh, wow. But do we really want to get close to it? There's a part in the word reverence or to revere. I fear, but I want to get close. I want to worship that God. Veneration, that's a big word. I'll let you look it up. But it's a good word. Reverence, way back in 1828, Webster defined it as fear mingled with respect and affection. Affection. This is not a God to just stay away from. He's a good father that wants to bring you into his arms. That's where he desires you. He wants you close. Why? Because that way all those things that are not of him that will kill us, remember the fruit, the Garden of Eden, disobedience separated us from God. And God brings us close. He says, I want you to be close to me. So what are we going to do? We're going to search the fear of God. Find out what does it mean to fear with respect and affection. Can I move close to this God? Do I even want to move close to this God? Well, that's a question you can ask by studying the fear of God. Maybe you get in the middle of it and you say, no, I'm not so sure I like that God. I'm going to guess that if that's where you are, you will begin to run away from God. No, that God's too powerful. I'm not sure I can be close. Let me encourage you, if that's where you end up after studying the fear of God and His Word, keep going. Don't stop. Because eventually you're going to find out what He did for us to bring us close. His Son? Death? Not only death, but a gruesome death to bring us close. To take everything that I have done, and if you think about it, everything that every person in this room has done wrong, including all the pain that has been done to you, because that's what Isaiah 53 says. He also took that to the cross. All of that was on Jesus so that God would bring us close. That's a little picture of the fear of God. Very, very small picture. And why should we do this? So that's our next question. Why should I fear God? I think you can see it in chapter 11 of Isaiah. If nothing else, if we want to follow Jesus, His Son, this spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord brought Jesus to a place where He delighted in the fear of the Lord. Do you delight in the fear of the Lord? If not, or if you've never even thought about it, ask the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, come. Give me a desire for the fear of the Lord. It actually, the word actually means the smelling of the fear of the Lord. Like a nice incense that you say, wow, ooh, oh, yeah, this reminds me of pleasant. He delighted in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord was something that Jesus loved to go after. But why should we fear God? Well, Revelation 15, 3 and 4 says He is holy, just, and true. Who will not fear You, O Lord, and bring glory to Your name? For You alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before You, for Your righteous acts have been revealed. Exodus 20, 20 says, we fear the Lord to keep you from sinning, to keep me from sinning. Okay, I think I want to be there. I want to understand the fear of the Lord a little bit better. Ecclesiastes 8, 12 says that it will go well with you. Now, I don't know too many of us that don't want that. Goes on many, many more. Throughout Scripture, you look at the fear of God, and this is what the fear of God will lead you into. It's not just the beginning of knowledge. It's not just the beginning of wisdom. There's a whole lot that goes with that. So then, the question to us is, where does fearing God take me? And we've already talked about that. Where does fearing God take me? The short answer is closer to the heart of God. I'm hoping that every single one of us here are interested in getting closer to the heart of God. That we want to get close to this God of the universe, even though it's difficult sometimes. What it is not, the fear of God, the way that God intended it, is not to run away from Him. Or as we often do, even beat ourselves when we've done something wrong. No, it's just to run into the arms of our good Father. Yes, there will be correction. Yes, there will be discipline. But it's good. Hebrews 12 starts that way, talking about, yeah, discipline. But discipline of a good father will lead you into a better place. A place that will honor Him. But one verse that really stood out to me and is so difficult was 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So I thought God was love, but you're saying fear of God, He's wanting us to the fear of God. But understand that all of your fears, if you think about them, are because of something in the past or something in the future. That's where your fears will go. Oh, yeah, I remember somebody said this spider could kill me. So, nope, I'm not getting... In fact, I'm not going to get close to any spider. So the future is, I got to stay away from spiders. And the now is where we act on that fear. It's interesting that faith is also about the past and the future. The past, the faith of what God said, I'm going to believe that because I'm hoping for the future. what he promised to come to pass. So both fear of God and faith deal with the past and the future, and both of them lead us into the present. Love. Love happens right now. And that's where God is intending us to go, into his love, into his open arms. So when? When? When will I know if I fear God? When will I know? If you study the fear of God, you will see the heart of God coming out over and over again in Scripture. He has compassion for people. He cares about the poor and the needy, and love that reaches out and gives very lives for another, and even an enemy. So when will I know that I'm beginning to fear God? When I start to love more and more like Jesus. I'm going to do a lot more next week, but I want to give you one last thing. How can I fear God today? Begin to recognize your own fear, fear of standing up in front of people, fear of, I wonder what that person thinks of me, or a fear of, if anybody finds out who I really am. And then begin to search God's heart for fear of him, which begins to just transcend and wash over all those other fears. And we begin to get grounded and rooted in him. Remember the building? Will you ground yourself? Will you build a foundation on him? The foundation of God's throne. There's two places in the Bible that talks about that. Psalm 89:14 and Psalm 97:2. The foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. Is that something you're moving toward? You know that you're beginning to fear God when you head that direction. Let's pray. Holy Father, you are so big, we can't even get close. And yet you draw us in because of what your Son has done. Jesus, help us to respond to you, to receive you, to believe what you've done for us. And Lord, I pray that we would respond to you through the Holy Spirit's promptings even today, to obey and in that love, because you empower us to do that. Lord, take us from here with your blessing. In Jesus' name.